Today's shiur is Masechta Nida Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis on the Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rava, Sheretz Bekamtoi Tohar. We spoke in yesterday's shiur, in the end of yesterday's shiur, that there are two types of tumah that are not your conventional tumah. There's tumah Beis Astarim, and there's tumah Belua. And as we learned, tumah Belua, a tumah completely, as the word belua means, swallowed into the body, is not metama, not b'maga, not b'masa. A tumah beis astarim is metama b'maga, but not b'masa. So begins the Gemara, Amar Rava, sheretz b'kamtoi. If someone is carrying a sheretz in his armpit, so it's a beis astarim, tohar. There's no tumah. Neveila b'kamtoi, but if somebody's carrying a nevela in his armpit, there will be tumah. And the Gemara explains, sheretz b'kamtoi tohar, if he's carrying the sheretz in his armpit, which as we just said is a tumah beis astarim, and the only tumah that exists by sheretz is a tumah maga, and since we just said there is no tumah maga by beis astarim, so that's why the Gemara says tohar. Sheretz b'negi yehud metameh, u'beis astarim la bar magahu. However, if you carry a nevela b'kamtoi, a nevela in this base of storm in your armpit, you're tameh. Four explains the Gemara. Ne de maga loy metama. Indeed, there is no tumas maga by the base of storm. However, b'masa miyeh metama. There is tumas masa. And tumas masa is even by a nevela and even by base of storm. Continues the Gemara. Sheretz b'kamtoi. The Torah Akdasha teaches us a very unique din. Almost all situations of tumah is an issue of contact. Something comes in contact with something that's tumah, it becomes tumah. Transfer. The one exception is klicheres. We know kalasha b'toicha yitma, the Torah Akdasha says by klicheres. A klicheres only becomes tumah mi'aviroi. That if the tumah enters the airspace of the klicheres, it doesn't even have to touch the klicheres. As long as it enters the airspace, it becomes tahor, tamei. So says Rava, sheretz b'kamtoi, if somebody's carrying a sheretz in his armpit, v'chnisa l'avira tana, and that comes into the airspace of the tanner, and as we've learned Baruch Hashem many times, a tanner in those times was typically made out of cheres, tamei, because it's in the avir of the kli cheres. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course it's tamei. Answers the Gemara, ma'adotema toicha amrechmana. Then when is there a din of avikli charis? Only when it comes into the toichai. V'loi toich toichai. Here, it's inside, that here it should be considered a situation of toich toichai, kamash malam. So to understand this Gemara, we have to review a din that we've learned previously. The din of toich toichai is as follows. If you have a kli charis, an open earthenware keli, and then you have a sheretz in another kli charis, and you put the first kli cheres with the sheretz inside the other kli cheres, provided, according to most Rishonim, the kli cheres in which the sheretz is in protrudes to the, above the outside kli cheres, the outside kli cheres will remain tahar. Why? Because that's the situation of toich toichai. Says the Gemara, that only in that case do we have the dispensation of toich toichai, not when you have the sheretz in your armpit and that armpit is put in with the sheretz into the kli cheres. And the Rashba, interestingly, says why? Why are these two cases different? So I saw two explanations. The simple explanation, because we just said that the rule is only if the kli cheres that has the sheretz in it protrudes, extends on top of the other one. The sheretz in your kaimet isn't extending, and therefore you don't have that heter. Another explanation I saw the Rashba suggest is that only when the sheretz in the first keli is a kli cheres, so that's why it could be a chatzitza. Min b'minoi, this is a kli cheres and this is a kli cheres, that's why it's chaitzitz. But when it's in your armpit is not a kli cheres. There we don't have the heter of toich toichai. Toich toichai was only set on kli cheres. We've learned that there's another unique type of tumah by tumah zav. That's called tumas hesed. That if the zav causes something to move, or you move zav, that is called tumas hesed. So comments Rish Lakish. Amr Rish Lakish. Kana bekamtai. If somebody has a stick in his armpit, kana bekamtai shal zav. A zav has a stick in his armpit. The sita by a satar, and he moves a person or object which is tar, tar. That won't be a situation of tumas hesed. Whereas, says Rish Lakish, kana bekamtai shal tar, if there's a stick in the armpit of someone who's tahar, the hesed buses off, and that tahar person moved a zav with that stick, tameh. So as Rashi points out, the second rule that Rish Lakish says, the Gemara isn't focused on. Because to Rish Lakish, that's obvious, that if a tahar person moved a zav, he's certainly going to become tameh. Because Rashi says it's certainly no worse than the mishkav of a zav. If you sat on the mishkav of a zav, you become tameh. Moving a zav is certainly more of an act of transmitting tumah. The focus on the Gemara, of the Gemara, say, or the Rishonim, is on the first rule, that if a zav has a stick in his armpit, and he moves something tar, that isn't considered as seitoi shel zav. Ask the Gemara why. My tama. Answer the Gemara. The amakra. V'chal ha-shig ba-azav, v'yadav la-shatav b'mayim. So as the Rishonim explained, Pashup shot in this pasuk is that the pasuk, and the Gemara is going to make that observation, is that the pasuk is talking about tumas maga. But we don't need a pasuk to teach us the din of tumas maga. We have other pasukim to teach us that this tumas maga by zav. What must this pasuk be teaching us? This pasuk is teaching us the din of haseita shel zav. The din that we've been learning now, that something that the zav moves becomes tameh. Shlomitzinu loy tum b'chalatar kula. That we don't find this type of tumah typically, says the Gemara. For afke rechmona b'losh negiyah. So if the Torah is speaking about tumas hesed, so the Torah should have said hesed. It's a very misleading pasuk, if we're allowed to use such words, that speak about negiyah when we mean hesed. Lememra, the hesed v'negiyah kiyadav. The Torah HaKadosh wants to teach us a new din. The Torah HaKadosh is teaching us the din that we've been learning. The exception of Beis Hastarim. What is the definition of Yodav? Yodav means it's your hands. Your hand is something that's external, revealed. To teach us that both by Tumas Maga and by Tumas Hesed, Ma Hosam, it has to be similar to your hand. Ma Vroi, it can't be concealed. Avhoch Ma Vroi. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, for a Zov to be able to transmit Tumas Hesed, he could only transmit it with something that's revealed, like his hand, not something that's not revealed. And therefore, here where the Zav has the stick in his armpit, so it's a Tumas Hesed with the object that's not revealed, the Tumah won't get transmitted. Rashi suggests another whole pshat, which Rashi himself doesn't follow, that it depends if the Zav is touching a stick, and then the stick is touching something else, so everything goes down a level, and that's why the stick doesn't have the ability to transmit tumah. Whereas the other way, it does have the ability. But Rashi goes away from that pshat. There's also a very interesting point. It's not really our sugya, but Rashi says, so this pasuk that we just quoted, of v'chal yishig ba'azav, v'yodav l'shatav b'mayim, so he said the first words, v'chal yishig ba'azav, is coming to teach us the din of hesed. The din of the word v'yadav is coming to teach us that it has that tumas hesed and tumas maga are only transmitted with something that's revealed. What does the word l'shatav b'mayim come to teach us? So Rashi says it comes to teach us that before you eat bread you have to wash your hands, which is a very bechiddush because we know that that din we typically say is a derabbanan. According to this Rashi, it's a din d'oraisa. We learned in the Mishnah, ava azov b'akari ein matamim. Even though, as we discussed in the previous shurim, a zava nida a matama b'fnim kebuchutz, which means that as soon as the dam leaves the makar, even though it didn't leave the woman's body, she's considered a zava. She's considered a nida by a zav and balkeri. That is not the halacha. The halacha is it has to leave the body for them to be considered a zav or balkeri. And the obvious question, which the Gemara doesn't articulate, but it's obvious, typically the halacha of a zav is similar to the halacha of a zava. So why by a zava is there tumah even if the dam did not leave the body? And why by a zav does it have to leave the body for him to be a zav? Answers the Gemara, zav, Because let's read the words of the pasuk. Ki yeh zav mibsaray. Ech yetzi zav mibsaray. Balkari diksiv, v'ish ki seitzi v'mena shich v'zera, and has to leave the body. So we learned in the Mishnah. Hayarach b'tam v'hergish. So as we explained the Mishnah, what happened here is, somebody's eating truma, and he starts feeling the sensation that shich v'zera is going to leave his body. And we know the Torah says, v'nin nesati l'chem es mishmeres trumasi, that one is not eat truma when he's tamei. On the other hand, the Torah Kedosha also says, you're not allowed to bring truma to waste. So this person has a real dilemma. He's about to become tamei, so he won't be able to eat the truma, but he doesn't want to bring the truma to waste. So what should he do? So the Mishnah taught us, he should hold on to his amma, hold back the discharge from leaving his body, because as we just learned, he's not tamei until the discharge actually leaves his body, and then it'll leave his body. Interestingly, I saw Ritva, the Achronim explained that Ritva says, this entire concern that we're addressing in the Mishnah and now in the Gemara is only in a situation, says the Ritva, where if you expel the truma from your mouth, it'll be mos and you can't eat it. But let's say it's still edible even if you expel it from your mouth, so the best thing is to spit it out. Usually that isn't going to be an option. So the Mishnah says, hold on to your amma. Ask the Gemara Oiches, for Tanya, we learned in Daf Yud Gimel, Rebbe Lezer Oime, Kol Oiches Ba'omo, Mashtin, Kilamevi Mabel Oilem. It's a terrible Aveira. So all the Rishonim ask, yes, it's a terrible Aveira to hold on to your Amma. But it's a Derabbanan. And here, as we just explained, the Isser of making Truma Tamei is an Isser Deraisa. So what's the Gemara's question? So I saw two Terutzim. One Terutz is, that when does the Torah say that you're not allowed to make Truma Tamei? That means if a person goes and has truma and takes that truma and puts it next to tamei, he biyodayim makes the truma tamei. That's Issa Deraisa. Here he didn't make the truma tamei deliberately by putting the truma making it tamei. He's a victim of the zera coming out of his body as he's eating the truma. There's no Issa Deraisa on the truma either. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that even though the aveira of oiches ba'oma, the aveira of causing zera levatala, it doesn't seem to be a deraisa. The Zohar HaKadosh says it's a horrible aveira, and it's such a serious aveira that the Gemara has a right to ask the question, how could you let that happen? Answer the Gemara, Amar Abayi v'matlas ofa. You have to hold it with a thick piece of cloth to avoid causing zera to come out. Rav Ava afil metema b'matlas raka. You could use a thin piece of material. And in fact, if you look in the Rambam says, according to Rava, who the Rambam Paskins like, you don't have to use any material. The only reason the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara says you use a matlas raka is because otherwise your hands are going to get dirty, you're going to have a problem with a bracha. But there's really no point at this point, because says Rava, why? Kimadaka akar. What's happened, happened. There's nothing you could do about it, so there's no point in trying to avoid it. Vabaya that did tell us to use a matlas ofa. Why? Says the Gemara Chayish, Dilma Asala Sufi. He's concerned that there may be more zera coming out, which of course you don't want to have. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, V'rova la Sufi la Chayish, is Rava not concerned about that? But Tanya, haven't we learned, back in the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel, L'maza doima, L'noisin be'etz ba'ayin, just like somebody puts a finger in eye, because she calls man she'etz ba'ayin, as long as the finger is in the eye, medamas v'chayza medamas, it keeps on tearing. So here too, everybody should be concerned for more zera. Answers the Gemara, Rava kol ha'chmume v'chuda ha'chmume b'shat l'shkiach. Which means as follows. Rava's opinion is that the person should have a discharge of shikha zera immediately after. So if it's all part of one discharge, so it can continue coming out. But that there should be a new discharge so quickly after the first discharge is highly unlikely, and therefore we don't have to be worried about it. So it's interesting to point out, when we learned the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, when it speaks about Shech Vazera, uses the words, Hayarich Betruma Vehirgish Shinizdazu Averov. So what does it mean, Vehirgish Shinizdazu Averov? Says the Gemara, Amishmu, Kol Shech Vazera Sh'ein Kol Gufa Margishpa, if the body doesn't feel the sensation of the Zera leaving it, Ein Matama it doesn't make tuma. My tama, b'shichva zera amrachmana. The only shichva zera that's considered shichva zera that brings this tuma is beruil azria. And if the shichva zera was discharged from the body without that sensation that the entire body felt it, there wouldn't be any tuma. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei. We learned in a Mishnah, Hoyimahar Belaila, somebody had a machshava during the night, a machshava, an improper machshava, for Amma, Umatza, Besara, and he went and wakes up and he finds that he's hat, Tomei. We need to be concerned that he was Moitzi Shechva Zera, even if he can't find it. So ask, what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is, if Shmuel is saying that Shechva Zera is not considered Shechva Zera unless there was Hargosha, so how didn't he wake up? The Hargosha would have woken him up. So isn't the fact that he didn't wake up a proof that there was no Shechva Zera? And actually, this halacha is very relevant to halacha l'maisa. Because the halacha is, we spoke about it, we will speak about it, the concept of a kesem. If a woman has a kesem, so she's only tamei midrabbanan, which means that if a woman wakes up in the morning and she finds a kesem on her clothing, on her linen, she's only tamei midrabbanan. Why? Maybe the kesem came from her body and it should be tamei midraisa. The answer is, as we've discussed so many times, Baruch Hashem, a woman is not tamei unless there is a hargosha, tamei midraisa. And our Gemara just taught us now that if there's going to be a hargosha, it would have woken you up. So if the woman finds a kesem in the morning with no hargosha, it's not tamei d'oraisa, because if there was hargosha, it would have woken her up. So the question here is, why is he tamei? There obviously was no hargosha. If it were there hargosha, he would have woken up. Answers the Gemara, Tegmer of Huna, Mishamish Mitos B'chalomai. Here speaking that he had a dream that he was having Tashmish, the Afshal Sharish Ploy Hagosha. The dead was certainly Hagosha. That's the first version of Shmuel's rule. Lishnachrina, a different version of Shmuel's rule. Om Shmuel, Koshchva Zerish Eina Yerik Echetz. If the Shechva Zera doesn't leave the body in a shooting fashion, Eina Matama. It can't cause Tumah. And before we go into the Gemara, just a simple definition, the difference in the two opinions. The first opinion focuses on the Shechva Zera. And the first opinion holds that Shechva Zera that didn't come with a hargosha of the body can't make a woman pregnant. The second Lashon says, we don't only look at how the Shechva Zera was caused, but we also have to look how the Shechva Zera left the body. And if the way it came out, and if it didn't come out, kechetz, it can't be mazriya, and that's why it's not matama. So ask the Gemara, what is the practical nafkamina between these two lishaynis, between these two versions? Ma'ikabat ha lishna l'hai lishna. Answers the Gemara, ikabinai nekra b'hargosha. There was a hargosha when the Shechva Zera began. However, v'yotza shloi b'hargosha. It left without a hargosha. So, says the Gemara, comments the Gemara. Nus the pshita le l'shmul. According to the first version of Shmuel, as long as there was an original hargosha, that's enough for the Shechva Zera to be tamei. According to the second version of Shmuel, you need to have Yerik Echetz to be Tamei. But Shmuel, whatever version we pick, knows what the halach is. Comments the Gemara, Nils the Pshita Leila Shmuel, whatever was obvious to Shmuel, Mibay Leila Rava, was actually a question to Rava. The boy Rava, for Rava asked the following question. Nekra b'hargosha, if it left the body with hargosha, exactly our case, where there was an argosha when it began, but there was no argosha as it left the body. Mahu, what's the halacha? Rava has the question. Toshma. And the Gemara brings a raya from the following braisa. The braisa says, Balkeri shetovav lahitl mayim. If a Balkeri went to the mikveh without first urinating, l'chlishyatl mayim tamei. Why? Because there's some shechva zera left in the urine. But that Shechva Zera didn't leave the body kechetz. So why should I be worried about it? Isn't it a raya? That as soon as the Shechva Zera started with Argosha, even though it didn't culminate with Yarav Echetz, doesn't make a difference. Says Mar, it's not a raya. Shani Hosam, the Rub of Argosha, nothing. Since most of the Shechva Zera did come out with Argosha, so even if the Shechva Zera that did not come out with Yarav Echetz, that Shechva Zera is considered like the rest of the Shechva Zera that it was part of, that it's Tameh. So the Gemara here paskins that somebody goes to the mikveh should go to the urinate first. If you look at this Gemara, Mesechta Chulin, Daf Chaf Dalet, the Gemara, the Rishonim all say that this rule only applies one for Taharis, in order for somebody to be able to eat Taharis, Truma Kachim, and number two, it only applies to older, sicker people who, when they urinate, don't necessarily completely empty the bladder. Younger people who are able to completely empty their bladder when they urinate, we need not be concerned. But the Shari Dura, paskins, that before a woman goes to the mikveh, she should urinate. And the Ramah quotes that Shari Dura. The Shach says that if she didn't, the tefillah is still fine. But L'chatchil, the Ramah says, well, you should. And now the question is why. If we just said, based on the Gemara Masechta Chulin, that it's only for Taharis, a woman that's going to the mikveh is going to be able to live with her husband. Not, there's no Taharis nowadays. So the Avni Nezer answers. The Avni Nezer says, the reason that the Shari Dura and the Ramah are paskening that she should go to the mikveh has nothing, that the Shari Dura and the Ramah she should urinate, is nothing to do with what we're learning about. It's a different rule. If she has urine in her bladder, it's an issue of a chatzitza. Because we've learned that even though when you go to the mikveh, you're only able to immerse what's outside, now what's inside your body has to be able to have the mikveh water enter. But if there's a chatzitza, that's why you have to be taivul. So it's a different halacha altogether. And the Marsham paskins, there's a nafkamina, he says, if the woman has to use the bathroom, such a woman, if she went to the mikveh without having urinated first, it's a problem of a chatzitza. If, however, it isn't that she really has to use the facilities, then she went to the mikveh without first urinating, the tefillah is kosher tefillah. Continues the Gemara, Lishna Achrina, a third version, Amrila, Amr Shmuel, Koshech, Vazer Sheni Kechetz, Azru, Enim Azraz. Azru Yehod L'Mazra, Hatamuy Matam. So the way most Mepharshim explain Shmuel's last version, Shmuel here in this version takes a very serious approach. And he says you don't have to have Yerik Kechetz, you don't have to have Hargosha, any Shech Vazer is Matam. There are other Mepharshim who ever say that the third Lashon and the first Lashon agree. And that they don't have to have Yoyer Kechetz, but the original sensation is required. Shenemar, but we're going to learn like our first explanation, that according to this version of Shmuel, Hagosh is not required. Shenemar, because it's based on what it says in the Torah Kedosha, Ki Yibachai Isha Shlayir Tar Mikra Afir Karibi Olam. Any Shechva Zerah that leaves the body is Matama. Begins the Gemara. Bari Rava. Begins the Gemara asking questions based on the halachas that we just learned. Oyve Kacham Shehira. We know in order for an Akum to become a Jew, he has to have Mila v'Tfila. So we have here an Akum that's going through the Geirus process. He already had his Mila, and he's right before the Tfila. And what happened here was, Shehira, v'Yard v'Tavel. So he had this Machshava, and the Zera accumulated in his body, but it didn't leave yet. So what's the halacha? Im timtzloimer basakiras linen. Even if we follow the first version of Shmuel, suggests the Gemara, and we just look at the original Hargosha. And here, when did the original Hargosha take place? When he was still an Akum. And the Shechva Zerah of an Akum is not Tomei. Hanimili, that only represented when we said a Chumrah. The first Lashon of Shmuel taught us that as soon as you had a Hargosha, even though you didn't have Yerik Echeit, there's Tumei Shechva Zerah. Here, by following that approach, Hachad al-Kula, by saying that we go Basa Akira, it's going to turn out with a Kula, that the Shech Vezera is not a problem, because the Shech Vezera of a Goy, that we don't say. We always follow the Akira, whether it results in a Kula, or it results in a Chumra. Teiku. Another question, by Rava. Zavish Nekra Meimei Rigleha. We know, we discussed already, that the Mayonis Shal Zav Vezava, that means the fluid, the secretions of a Zava, are Tamei. So what we're speaking about here is her urine. So ask the Gemara, by Rava, Zavish Nekar Mei Mirigleha, her urine already accumulated, but she hasn't yet, but and now she goes to the mikveh. Now, Im temtsloim basa kiras linen, hanimili shechvazera. So if we say that it's tamei, so that may reglaim a tamei. So even if they come out after she went to the mikvah, they're tamei de gamei reglaim, that will be matama her, and matama anybody who comes in contact with her. But, suggests the Gemara, maybe when do we say that? Only by shechvazera. Why? Because there's a very big difference between shechvazera and urine. Shechvazera de loy motzim nakadlo. You can't, hold back the shechvazera. I'm a mei regleo, but when we speak about urine, the matzin nakadlo, you could hold back, not use the bathroom if you don't, even if you need to. Loy. Now, shechvazera is gonna come out, you can't stop it once it's coming. Urine, you can. Adem aloshna, here to take it. Another question. We've learned in our Masechta, the Chazal were geyser. Chazal decreed that all avoiders, all female avoiders kachavim, all female akum, from the moment they're born, they're considered zovan. We learned the halacha. So now ask the Gemara, by Rava, avoiders kachavim zova, shenekar mei mei reglaim. Her mei mei reglaim already began to come out. V'yard of a tavla. And now she goes to the mikveh in order to do geiris. Imtim tzloimer. Even if we'll say, going back to the previous question, Basa kiras lina, that as soon as the mamin reglayim started leaving the body, afagav the matz nakluhu, and even though, as we just said, may reglayim have this characteristic that you could hold yourself back, hanimili, but still, it's going to be matameh. That's maybe when we're speaking about Yisraelis. With a tumor of a zova who is a Yisraelis, and the mayonis shall zova, the secretions of that zova, the urine of that zova, are tumay deraisa. Hanimili Yisraelis, the tumay deraisa. Avl oizis kacham zova. The entire tumor that we're speaking about here is only a tumor de rabbanon, as I said a moment ago. That chazal geyser, that zov, that all women that are akiv should be considered tumay de rabbanon. Lie, we wouldn't be that strict. Oidumah, Loishna, and the Gemara remains with a taiku. We learned in the Mishnah, Umetamah b'kol shehi. The Umetamah b'kol shehi. Omishmu, Zov, Tziris, Chesimus, Pi, Oma. How much Ziva has to leave the Zov's body in order for him to be Tamei? Enough to cover the tip of the Oma. Shnemar, Ahechtem, Psori, Mezovai. Ask the Gemara, how does Shmuel say this? Haven't we just quoted what we learned in our Mishnah on Daf Mem Amen Aleph, Vanan Tanan, Mekamim B'kol Shehein? So how do we reconcile Shmuel's statement with our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Hudam K'Reb Nosson. Shmuel holds like Reb Nosson, the Tanya Reb Nosson Am Mishum Reb Shmuel, Zov Tzorov Chachimis Piyama, that how much Ziva has to be there to cover, to be Tomei, so Shmuel agrees with that opinion. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud Rabbi Shmuel, what indeed is the basis for Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that you have to have Chesimus Piyama, that much Ziva, to be Tomei? My Talmud Rabbi Shmuel, answers the Gemara, I hechtem besari mezavai. So clearly the Pasuk indicates that you need to have that much Ziva to be Tomei. What would Rabbanan do with that Pasuk? Rabbanan learned, that ziv is only matama when it's moist, not when it's already dry. Rabbi Shmuel, who uses this pasuk to teach us that you have to have the shear of hechtem piya oma, where will he learn it? Hahumi roar nafka. Rabbanan, where will the Rabbanan, what will the Rabbanan do with the word roar? Hahu, Rabbi Shmuel, to teach us the din of lach, he learns it from the word run, which roar, which means flowing. V'rabbanan, hahu, that pasuk, they use l'minyan hudasa. They come to teach us the din of how many riyas you need to have to be considered a zov. Zov chada, the Torah uses the word zov, is the first riya. Roar b'saroi, trey, is the second riya. Ez zava is tlas, to teach us, the limen al zav bal sholosh riyas, only a zav that had three riyas, chai b'karbon. Oy hechtem b'sarim zavai, continues the pasuk, oy hechtem b'sarim zavai tamei, to teach us, mix a zava tamei, that even if the person didn't have all three riyas, he only had some of those riyas, limen al zav bal shtei riyas, that even if you only had two riyas, shmatama mishkev umayshev. Rishmal, who uses this pasuk for other purpose, where will he know this from? Minyanam and Ole, nafkele mit Reb Smoy. The Tanya of Smoy Omer, mana kosef shtayim. The Torah speaks about two riyas of a zov. The Korot Tomei, Shalish, and the Torah speaks about three riyas of a zov. The Korot Tomei. So what is it? Two riyas or three riyas? Haketzet, shtayim, the tomo, two riyas make the person be considered a zov. He's a full-fledged zov, and he's going to even have to have zayin nekiyim. He's going to be matama mishkev umoshev. For shalish lekarbon. Ulaman de nafgalei tavayu mizois tia tumas bezovoy ish ish kiyeh zov b'sar may avadlei, that he learns all of that from that pasuk. Where does he learn the, what does he do this pasuk? What does he use the pasuk for? The b'ayalei achiyetz m'psari. That, as we learned on Amud Aleph, that for zov to be matama, it has to actually completely leave the body. Zov v'tama lomali, to teach us, liman ala zov, that the actual zov liquid, not just the person, but the actual zov liquid is tama. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chanaloi Mishum Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Shech zera l'roya. In order for tumas riya, you need to have only a mashu. That means as soon as a person emits even the smallest amount of shech zera, he's tamei. L'negeya, but when it comes to touching shech zera, that we just learned that the actual liquid is matama, you have to have kadasha. Ask the Gemara, Vanam matam b'kol she'en tanan. Haven't we just learned in our Mishnah that the shech v'zera is matam b'kol shehu? How could you say that's tuma strictly with our dasha? My love, isn't our Mishnah referring l'negeya to somebody who touches the shech v'zera? And our Mishnah is teaching us that somebody who touches the shech v'zera is tuma even with a kol shehu? Says the Gemara Loi. Our Mishnah is speaking about a roya, a person who emits shech v'zera. There he's considered tuma, he's considered a balkeri as soon as you have a kol shehu. But when it comes to touching, you need a kadasha. Toshma. So Gemara quotes the following braisa. Chayim b'shech v'zera b'sheretz. Shech v'zera has a chumra over sheretz. V'chayim b'sheretz m'shech v'zera. Sheretz has a chumra over shech v'zera. Chayim b'sheretz. Sheretz ein chaluka tumasai. A sheretz is always tamei. It makes no difference if the sheretz touches a tamei, a godlu or a cotton, it's tamei. Mash enkein b'shech v'zera, as we learned and will learn, only the shech v'zera of a child who's 9 years up, 9 years old and up, is considered shech v'zera, not the shech v'zera of a 9 year old and less. Although, I have to tell you that there's a machlokes achrayim. What does the Gemara mean here when it says that the shech v'zera of a child who's less than 9 years old is not metama? Some achrayim say, pasha pshat, that the shech v'zera of a child who's below 9 years old is not halachically considered shech v'zera. Others say that if a child is less than 9 years old and he emits shech v'zera, he is considered a balkeri. What the Gemara means to say that the shech v'zera of a boy who less than 9 years old is not shech v'zera is that it doesn't have the ability to matam as someone else. But the actual person who emitted the shech v'zera, some achrayim, it's a magen avram, says will be tamei. Continues the braisa. Chayim b'shech v'zera sheshech v'zera mekama b'kol shehu. That the shech v'zera is matam with a kol shehu. Mash enkein v'sheretz. So doesn't this braisa say clearly that shech v'zera is matam b'kol shehu? And my love, isn't this braisa speaking about negeya? And yet the braisa says that shech v'zera is matama even by negeya l'kol shehu. Says the Mar Loi Leroya. It's speaking about somebody who omits the shech v'zera, whether that person becomes tamei. But when it speaks about touching, then the halacha by shech v'zera will also be kadasha. Ask the Mar, how could you say that this braisa is talking about a roya? For Dumya the Sheretz Ketani, the braisa is comparing hilchas shech v'zera to hilchas sheretz. Ma sheretz. Now what type of tumah is there by sheretz? The tumah of sheretz is negia, coming in contact with the sheretz. Av shech v'zera isn't the tumah of shech v'zera that's being discussed. Negia, touching the shech v'zera, and yet the braisa says that the tumah of shech v'zera is b'kol shehu. Says Mar, no, your question is not a compelling question. Amar of Adbar Hava, Shum sheretz ketani, v'shum shechvazer ketani. We're not speaking about the exact same circumstances. We're speaking about the general category of tumma. And the category of tumma called sheretz always needs a kadasha, and the category of shechvazera, at least when it comes to roya, is tumma b'kolshu. But it could well be, when it speaks about negiya, touching shechvazera, that loch will be kadasha. Ask the Gemara, is that true that a sheretz always needs to be kadasha? The sheretz loy matam b'mashu, that a sheretz is not matam b'mashu? Ask the Gemara v'nantanan, have we not learned the Mishnah Masechta Olos? Havarim ein lem shir. When we speak about whole limbs, pach mekazayis basar ameis, or pach mekazayis basar nevela, or pach mekadashim in a sheretz, as long as you have a whole limb, it's matama. So it's less than a kadasha. And yet the Mishnah says that there is tumas sheretz. Answers the Gemara, Shani Aver, the Kula B'makam Adashikai. What the Gemara means to say here is, why does the Torah require an Adash of a Sheretz? The reason you have to have an Adash of a Sheretz, because less than an Adash of a Sheretz is not significant. What does an Aver mean? An Aver also represents significance. So an Aver of a Sheretz and an Adash of a Sheretz both really mean the same thing. They represent chshivas. They represent significance. What's the raya? The ilacha supporta aver. The ilacha supporta. If the aver was missing even the smallest amount, aver mika matama, it wouldn't be matama. So we see that the point of the aver of a sheretz is not because less than a kadash is matama. It's because the aver is like an adasha, halachically. And that's why it's matama. We learned that shechazera, the chalukah tumasai. The Gemara said that by sheretz there is no chalukah tumasai, and by shechazeretz there is chalukah tumasai. So we already explained what the Gemara is going to say, the difference between a 9-year-old above 9 and below 9. But the Gemara develops it. Ask the Gemara, what did the Braisa mean? Elayim ben Yisrael and Nachrim, that the Braisa meant to differentiate between the shechazera of Yisrael versus the shechvazer of a nokri. Ask the Gemara, hachanami ich ach b'diyam v'ach ach b'yibosha. The Torah speaks, we always speak about this, shmoni shrotzim. There are 8 shrotzim that are matama. One of the 8 shrotzim is a mouse, achbar. But there's an ach b'diyibosha, good old mouse, good old fashioned mouse, and there's a sea mouse. Only the ach b'diyibosha is matami, is the sheretz, not ach b'diyam. So we have the same thing there. So the Mefarshim asks, why didn't the Gemara say a simple difference? If a sheretz comes in contact with a Yisrael, he's tamei. If a sheretz comes in contact with an akum, the akum doesn't become tamei, because there is no tamei by an akum. So Mefarshim answer, there the issue is not the sheretz, the issue is the akum. We're speaking about the tumah of the shechvazera. We're speaking about the tumah of the sheretz. The sheretz is the sheretz, whether it touches the Yisrael or the akum. So that couldn't be what the Gemara meant. Elo, ben godel cotton. The difference is the difference between a cotton and a godel. As we said, that the shechvazera of a cotton below 9 years old is not considered shechvazera, as we explained earlier. The shechvazera of above 9 years old is considered shechvazera. So where we're up to now is a question. Every shechvazera of nogeya, if somebody comes in contact with shechvazera, do you need to have, is it Tamei B'mashahu, or do you need Kadasha? Suggest Rapapa, Ketanai. This really is a Machloikus Tanoim. For says the Braisa, Menayin L'Rabbis Negev Sheikh Vazera. How do we know that if somebody just comes in contact with Sheikh Vazera that he is Tamei? Tamei Loima, because the Pasuk says, Ish Ashiyiga B'chol Sheretz. The Pasuk compares it from the Torah, be adding the word Oi, in the parish of touching of sheretz, teaches us that not only touching a sheretz is metamei, but even touching shechazer is metamei. But we have a machloikis throughout Shas, just to review it. Domino omino, or domino v'uka ba'asra. Which means when we learn one subject from another subject, do we take all of the characteristics of the melamed, of the teacher, to the subject that we're learning? Or do we just take this halacha and then put it into the context of what we're learning? And now let's explain it. Dikat amri, ik domino mino. We learn all the way from the malamed. Dikat amri domino, we use the malamed to teach us what we need to learn. But then we take that concept and put it in the context of the subject that we're discussing. And the Gemara explains itself. We learn from this pasuk that just like by tumah sheretz, this tumah through contact, af shechazera, this tumah through contact. Umino, and if we're learning from sheretz, we have to learn all the way. Mas sheretz b'kadasha, just like tumah sheretz is with adasha, af shechazera is tumah b'radasha. Uleman der amar, however, according to the man der amar that learns throughout shas, don mino vuka be'asra, so we learn as follows. We begin the same way. We learn from sheretz that just like sheretz transmits tumah b'negiya, so too shifcha zera transmits tumah with contact with negiya. However, but then we put it b'asra, vukah b'asra, mash shifcha zera l'roi b'mashu, because the entire discussion we've been having in this sugya is only regarding negiya of shifcha zera. But roya shifcha zera, everybody agrees the shear is a mashu. That's what our Mishnah, Daf Mem Amun Aleph, taught us. Af Negeya V'Mashu. Amrei. So this Machlokes Tanoim, how we, if Negeya is Shifa Zera, the Shear is Adasha, like by Sheretz, or is the Shear Adasha like by Sheretz, or the Shear is Mashu, like the Din of Roya Shifa Zera. Amrei Rav Huna B'Reider of Nosson Rapapa, M'may the Ish, the my oish the sheretz kamabalei. Who tells you to learn the din of negiya shichva zera from that pasuk? Dilma my oish the shetetz v'men shichva zera kamabalei. Maybe the place that we learn that there is a din of negiya shichva zera is from the pasuk of oish the shetetz v'men shichva zera from that oi or the kol alma. And if that would be the result, the kol alma mina. If that would be the case, so the din of Negiya Shechva Zera is learned from the parasha of Roya Shechva Zera. And if Roya Shechva Zera, the shear is a mashahu, then certainly Negiya Shechva Zera will also be a mashahu. Shalina the Tanoi, so they went and asked the Tanoim, where did they get to this halacha? Ik, that the din of Negiyas Shechva Zera as a mashahu. Ik din tonik rapapa. Someone like Rapapa based on Don Mino Vuka Ba'asra, Vika the Tanik Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Nosson, that learn it from the din of Oyish Ashetetsu Mena Shechva Zera. Dar Sameach explains that the Machloikus Rapapa and Rav Huna is how do you view the din of Negiya Shechva Zera? Is Negiya Shechva Zera just part of the general rule of Shechva Zera? So then you learn from the Pasuk of Shechva Zera. Or is Negiya Shechva Zera a new tumma, a tumas negiya, and you can't learn it from the parasha shechva zera, because the parasha shechva zera is limited to roya, so I need to learn it from the parasha of sheretz, which is a tumas negiya.